Double time. Get up. Move it. Come on, move it. Go. Keep it moving.
Now, Ryan, I want you to go straight to class today.
Why should I?
Because I said so.
Big deal.
You mind your manners, mister.
I don't have to. Bird face.
That does it. You're in trouble.
Oh, I'm just really scared.
Help you, ma'am.
Yes, officer. My son, Brian, is always late for school. Could you speak to him? Perhaps give him a little scare?
Certainly, ma'am. Hi, Brian. It's almost 800 hours. Time to deploy for school.
I'll go when I'm ready.
You're ready now, mister. Now move it!
Thank you, officer.
No problem, ma'am.
Welcome to Trimming the Movie Fat, the podcast where we trim films from franchises that don't belong. I'm Stephen Nicholson.
And I'm Paul Nicholson.
And today, we're joining Captain Harris and Proctor in their cop car en route to the Police Academy, where we'll assess which films in the franchise will pass the recruitment process and which will fail the test and be put in the slammer. So, we're going to, first of all, rank the first three Police Academy films, top, middle, or lower tier in this episode, and then the next one, return for episodes 4 through 7. So we'll share some Police Academy facts, provide an overview of each movie, and share our thoughts on each.
Any day now, Mahoney, and your little ass is mine.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Mahoney, didn't your mother teach you how to knock?
It depends. Sir, I hope this isn't going to be too personal. I heard what you said about my little butt, and I don't know how to break this to you, sir, but I'm straight.
So, Paul, do you have a favourite scene from the Police Academy movies?
Probably the second one, just maybe Zed when he's in the supermarket with his friends and they're just like going round the shop. He's also kind of trying to be a tough guy, but then he's not happy with the guy who hands of meat and he goes, I'm a vegetarian, do you know, stuff like that. I think kind of Zed steals the show. So maybe part two when he goes to the theme park as well and he shakes hands with the mayor.
I voted for you.
Will you go on the big wheel with me?
Yeah, that.
I'll go on it if you go on it with me. I get it sort.
So probably those bits. I mean, there's so many, but
yeah.
But, there we
go. Attention! I need beer up here! Now!
What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, it'd be anything from the second movie where it involves Mauser or Sweet Chuck and Zed. I think all of their scenes are very funny. But if I had to pick a specific scene, it would be from Police Academy 2 where the kid won't get out of the car at the school and the mum asks Tackleberry for help and getting the kid out. And the kid says, no, I'm not getting out. You'll get out right now, mister. And he shoots the gas canister through the window. So, yeah. That's probably my favourite scene. What's your favourite movie out of the whole franchise?
Funnily enough, we were just talking about probably the second one, their first assignment. I just think it's quite underrated. I think the first one kind of gets all the plaudits. And obviously, it's a great film, but for me, I've always liked the second one. I always preferred the second one.
Mm-hmm, me too.
So, you're
the same. Yeah, me too. And I think the other thing about... I mean, these movies, on rewatching them, and I've watched rewatched 1 to 3 so far for the first time in a long, long time, so still to watch 4 through 7. They are very much a product of their time. There's no getting away from it, and there's a lot of stuff there you wouldn't get away with now. I mean, for example, in the third one with the exchange police officer who's from the Far East, is he China? I can't remember which country it's from.
Japanese.
But yeah, some of the way, the way Japanese
the
maybe.
Manchu.
Okay, some of the way he's described, you would not. And all that, and the kind of all the you would expect the stereotypes are there. I think homosexuality as well with the blue oyster bar. Which is funny. I mean, that's one of my favourite parts of the movies, the recurring visits to the Blue Oyster Bar. But again, it's a very stereotypical view of, you know, homosexuality there, and the men, the straight men, being afraid to go in there.
Look, sir, maybe they serve seafood.
Not funny, you idiot. What are you looking at, you peckerhead?
Nice uniform. Makes me wish I'd worn my sailor outfit.
I'm getting out of here. Move it, move it, move it! Buster!
I don't think cutting in's allowed, sir.
Nice collar.
And even, I think racism with, I think the first movie, when the new recruits first arrive, and one of the guys that recruits says something like, "Oh, there's a lot of spades here," and again, you know, and then he looks high.
It's funny because they all stand up like, to, again, to the note. Yeah.
There are a lot of spades around here.
What you think is good?
Right. But you wouldn't get away with that now. And similarly, the sexism. It's, I think, the third movie there where the new recruits arrive and you've got the attractive blonde and Mahoney's straight over there. Bear in mind, he's the sergeant. He's the one, the authority figure, and he's straight over saying, "Yeah, you're rooming with me. We have to take showers together." You know, within his first 30 seconds of meeting her.
What's your name, cadet?
Thompson, sir.
You live around here?
No, sir.
What's your telephone number, Thompson? Come on, eyes front, telephone number.
555-2467, sir.
Okay. Let's see the thighs. Come on, come on. I haven't got all day. The thighs.
What in the hell are you doing?
Meeting women, sir.
What's your name, dirtbag?
Dirtbag?
Your name.
Mahoney, sir.
So, they are a product of their time, yeah. You wouldn't get away with most of that these days. And why, I mean, one of the things, and obviously we have a real fondness for these movies because from the second one, I think through to the fifth, that was very much, there was one every year, and we as a family went there. So obviously you, me, Mum and Dad and Donna went to see them. So we've got fond memories of going to see these and having a good time with them. But now, you know, you look back and you see, other than really the first one, they're not that well regarded at all, and people are a bit sniffy about them. And why do you think that is?
I don't know, just they were almost a little bit like the 80s version of the Carry On films in some ways. They were a bit like that, and it's quite slapstick. And obviously, not going to stay away with the quality trend from each film, each sequel got worse, really. So I don't know. To be honest, I don't. It was just snobbery, really. It's like they're not meant to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of them, you know. Do you have
a strange one?
Do you have an answer? Why you think?
I don't. I think just certain things get labelled or branded, and people, you know, are like sheep, and they go along with it. I mean, if you're just looking for, especially the first two movies, if you're just looking for a movie or movies to put on and just have a laugh, then yeah, brilliant.
Come at me with an imaginary knife.
Do I have to?
Yes, you do. I'm not joking. Come on. Come on. No!
Ouch! Ouch! Ouch!
Okay. That's how it's done. Who's next?
That's me!
I'd love to go.
Paul, do you have an interesting police academy fact?
So apparently, when it got to the third police academy film, Zed wanted more. No, I think he wasn't going to do it. The character played Zed, Bob Coldthwaite, or something his name is. And what they said, all right, we want you in it, so we'll up your salary. But then he said, ironically enough, the person he always argues with, Sweet Chuck, you know, the actor, you know, Sweet Chuck, the guy that he always kind of bullies. Apparently they were good friends, and he actually said, well, I'll only do it if you pay him the same. And they agreed to it.
Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, mine says that Steve Guttenberg, who's obviously the lead in the first four movies, he wasn't actually going to return for the sequel, Police Academy 2, because he didn't like the script, and he only came back when there was rewrites for the script, and his salary was bumped up. So, although, do you know one of the things I was thinking today about Steve Guttenberg? Actually, how incredibly successful he was from the mid-80s through to the end, right? When you consider he had the Police Academy series, he had Three Men and a Baby in its sequel, Short Circuit Cocoon. In its sequel, and I think Cocoon in its sequel. I mean, these were all big hits. So, I mean, that's a pretty impressive hot streak over, a six-year period, something like that.
Yeah, it's a shame because I really like him, but I think almost like he's seen as part of the 80s almost, and so when the 90s came, it was a shame. It's kind of like forgotten about. It was almost seen as, oh, he's the 80s, and we've moved on from that now. Maybe a bit like Phil Collins in the music sense, but it's a shame because I think he ended up doing like Cinderella pantomimes and stuff, you know, like in recent years.
Great news! In order to celebrate the release of Police Academy 5, Warner Home Video is reducing the price on the funniest foursome of cop capers to hit your video store. That's right, you can get Police Academies 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the low price of just $19.98 each. So, whether by land, by sea, by air, or even by chair, get down to your local video store to get in on the Police Academy action.
Come on, you little rookies, get on the program.
So, get on the ball and get your copies of Police Academy 1, 2, 3, and 4 at the new low price of just $19.98 per cassette.
Now you move it.
You heard the man. So scramble down to your store to buy the comedies that'll have you rolling with laughter.
We'll show you a good time.
We'll show you a great time.
Great news. In order to celebrate the release of Police Academy 5, Warner Home Video is reducing the price on the funniest foursome of cop capers to hit your video store. That's right. You can get Police Academies 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the low price of just $19.98 each. So, whether by land, by sea, by air, or even by chair, get down to your local video store to get in on the Police Academy action.
Come on, you little rookies, get on the program.
So, get on the ball and get your copies of Police Academy 1, 2, 3, and 4 at the new low price of just $19.98 per cassette.
Now you move it.
You heard the man. So scramble down to your store to buy the comedies that'll have you rolling with laughter.
We'll show you a good time.
We'll show you a great time.
Okay, Police Academy is a series of American comedy films written by Paul Maslansky, the first six of which were made in the 1980s and the seventh in 1994. So the series opened with Police Academy in 1984 and followed a group of misfit recruits in their attempts to prove themselves capable of being police officers and succeeding, both in spite of and because of their eccentricities. So the main character in the first four films is Carrie Mahoney, played by Steve Guttenberg, and he is a repeat offender forced to join the Police Academy as a punishment. The seventh and to date last installment, Mission to Moscow, was released in 1994, and in addition, an animated TV series ran from 1988 to 89, with also a live action series running in 1997 for 26 episodes. In September 2018, Guttenberg announced that a new Police Academy film was in development. And here we are, Paul, 6 years later, and I haven't heard a thing about it.
No.
And as the buses unloaded, a very kind of zigzag zebra line formed, and I noticed that it was the most diverse group of policemen I had ever seen. There were men and there were women and there were every color of the rainbow, and fat and thin. And I called the cadre officer over, a sergeant. He said, well, look, we have a fair employment hiring practice here, and we have to take in virtually everybody that applies to the academy. And then he looked around and he winked. He said, but we can flunk them out after 3 weeks.
No!
And that night I went home and I thought about it. I said, what if a group of these people that were accepted to the police academy, what if they decided that they're not going to be thrown out and they're determined to stay?
Okay, we've just returned from the Blue Oyster Bar with Blanks and Copeland, and having watched all three movies, listeners, here's your podcast.
Crime. The city was full of it.
Hey! Free TV!
Desperate measures were needed.
I want you to go to the police academy.
The police academy is such a dangerous place.
Honey, don't worry.
Desperate measures were taken.
I'm joining the police force!
The mayor says we have to take this riffraff.
I'm trapped here?
Well, yes. We all are.
What about guns? When do we get guns?
You will be schooled in firearms, police procedures, local laws, and many, many other things.
Driving and self-defense.
I need a volunteer.
That's me.
I love it.
Police Academy.
Where did you get this gun?
My mom gave it to me.
Mister, I am warning you, Hightower.
They're lean. Mean.
Does the radio bother you?
Five.
I can turn it down.
Obscene. Each and every one of them striving to defend.
You make me sick.
Thank you, sir. I make everybody sick.
See the thighs.
Or offend.
Come on. I haven't got all day the thighs.
And now that they're ready for the real world.
Give me the thing!
Crime is no longer the number one problem. They are.
Can you get my kitty cat out of the tree?
No problem, ma'am.
Police Academy.
Your father was a police officer. So what do you think your father, or how do you think your father is going to react to this movie?
Oh, he saw it. He liked it. He loved it. He thought it was really funny. He had a good time. You know, the movie's not a movie like Coma or Hospital, in which physicians would be offended. This is a movie, it's a comedy, and it's very, very, it's very easy to see that nothing here is taken seriously. So if it was the police academy, or it was a hotel, or it was a restaurant, or it was a health club, it would all be the same. I mean, it's all taken in, you know, in farce. So it's a lot of fun.
Police Academy has an uncanny ability to miss the punchline in joke after joke. There are scenes in this movie that are so pointless, it's not just that they're not funny, we can't even figure out why they're in the film. What is this doing here? When is it that it isn't funny? We don't know. Another thing, the movie allegedly takes place in the United States, but this police academy is like no American police academy I've ever heard of. It's a 14-week boarding school. Maybe they meant to call it Military Academy and they changed their mind.
I think that's because it was shot in Toronto, and so that there's this whole Canadian sensibility to what's going on there. It isn't like any police academy I've ever heard of either. Mm-hmm. I want to quote back to you the line that you used a little earlier in evaluating this film. This movie is bad. It's shockingly bad. They cut away from what's funny frequently. Those jokes at least paid off. The tilted car, everyone raising their hand. But more often than not, mm-hmm. just when this film is building up a head of steam, they cut away from the joke. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get it. It's stunning.
There are a couple of scenes in the movie where somebody walks on screen and says something, somebody else comes in, and the situation is set up
for joke.
And then end. Yeah. No payoff, no failed joke. Yeah. Just, it's over. And you say, what was that? It went by and it never came back again.
This is as much of an imitation of Private Benjamin as it is of Airplane, actually, and it's Noy in that class.
You're right. Quoted thumbs down on Police Academy, one of the most inept and idiotic comedies in a long time.
Okay, first up, Police Academy from 1984, directed by Hugh Wilson. So the plot for this one, in a desperate need of a fresh batch of police officers, the newly appointed Lady Mayoress of a crime-plagued metropolis lowers the bar for the recruitment process. As a result, all types of misfits start flocking into Commandant Eric Lessard's prestigious police academy, and the leader of this assortment of pariahs is Kerry Mahoney, a light-hearted, devil-may-care young rebel. But now, there is no turning back. And to make matters worse, the autocratic martinet Lieutenant Harris can't wait to see them quit. Then, a full-scale riot breaks out, and the inexperienced but dauntless cadets will have to put their training to good use. Do they have what it takes to be law enforcement officers? So the gross in this one, it grossed just under $150 million on a budget of $4.5 million, and its profit multiplier, well, it made over 33 times its budget, and it is the most commercially successful film in the franchise. It was the sixth highest grossing movie of 1984. So one of the movie mistakes in here, as the giant camera booth hits the water, the top black panel falls off, but is in place again for the next shot. So ratings-wise, it has a 56% fresh Rotten Tomatoes score from the critics and a 64% Rotten Tomatoes audience score. Over on IMDb, it has a 6.7 out of 10 audience rating and a 41 out of 100 critic Metascore. So here's a fact for you. After early test audiences responded mostly positively to Hightower out of all the characters, Hightower, played by Bubba Smith, was moved to second billing just behind Steve Guttenberg's Mahoney. And in summary, a good old-fashioned comedy film with tongue firmly in its cheek. The best way to enjoy this film is by viewing it as very much a product of the time, which we said earlier on. So, Paul, do you remember when and where you first seen Police Academy?
We were going to see it in Jersey. My mum and dad didn't realise it was a 15. So, obviously, at that point, we were...
I was 10, you were 7.
10, and I'd be 7. so, we ended up going to see Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, but that's something, that's another story. I actually think I saw the second one first, and then saw the first one on video. So, I think probably on video... rented it on video, maybe in 85 or 86, maybe.
I think so. But the thing for me, can you believe this is 40 years old?
I know.
Yeah, 40 years old.
I know.
Yeah, a 15, so I think I had to rent the video. Because I know we've seen Police Academy 2 in the cinema the year after. So anyway, what do you think of the original movie?
Yeah, it's just really funny. Like, say, a product of its time, but it's just quite slapstick, but I like it. It's fun because you always used to see the advert on TV, and it was the old lady asking Tackleberry to help her with her cat stuck up a tree. And you always used to see that and thought, oh, that looks really funny. It's just a really good, really good cast as well. And cause I suppose in the 80s, things were serious, and it was all, I suppose, society. It was a bit more about money and greed and stuff. So this was actually a welcome thing to come along, actually, and amongst all that. And not take itself too seriously, and yeah, and then it spawned all the sequels. So, you know, this was a good starting point, and obviously some people would return, some people wouldn't for the sequels. So, but yeah, a really good film.
It is. I mean, this movie is a comedy. Did it make me laugh? Yes. Did it make me laugh a lot? Yes. It's funny, still funny. And this is the first time I'd watched it in decades. And I mean, the plot, I mean, it's a slim plot. It's just really, it's a setup for gags, isn't it? And and the cast really make it, because each of the characters have their own trait or eccentricity, their own eccentricities, even, which they play to perfection, which endears us to them, especially as the series progresses. But yeah, I think the other things that stuck out were actually how good the soundtrack is by Robert Falk. It's got that iconic main theme. But yeah, really good soundtrack there. Obviously, Kim Cattrall, later of well, Sex and the City is her most famous acting gig, but I would say quite an early prominent role for her in here. I think Lieutenant Harris is a brilliant bad guy, really, really good in it. And yeah, there's just, you know, lots of really good standout moments. I mean, what are some of the highlights for you?
When they say something, but there's always like a comeback stuff. It's like somebody says something that's racist, they'll then realise that somebody there is much bigger than them, and it's like they suddenly shut up. And just Mahoney's he's brilliant. He's just so funny as well. And the music as well, like you say, the music, because what's really good about it's timeless, because the theme is just, it could have been done any decade. It's not like dated. It wasn't done, it could have been done on a synthesizer or something to reflect like when it came out, but it didn't. So that's what makes it even more timeless and famous, probably the theme. Of course, Tackleberry, I've not mentioned Tackleberry that much, but he's one of the best things about the franchise as well.
I mean, yeah, Tackleberry's obviously the kind of gun nut, the army nut. Mm. He was played by David Graff, and obviously in one scene in the movie, they're playing music, he's playing the saxophone. And actually in real life, he did play he was an accomplished saxophone player. But he's just one of the cast who died quite young. For me, obviously researching this, when you're going, and obviously it's 40 years since the first one, so I mean, obviously a lot of people died of just because of the passage of time, but there was quite a number of people that were in these movies who died way too young, and David Graff is one of them. I think he was only in his 2001, 50s, wasn't he?
2001 or something. Yeah. I think it was a heart attack maybe or something.
Yeah, very sad. But yeah, I mean, some of the highlights in this movie from me, the Blue Oyster Bar is always funny. So
yeah,
I think the podium when Commander Lassard's doing his speech, and they've got the prostitutes underneath the podium helping him with something, that's funny.
Now, this first slide shows a very, very interesting thing. Our main building. In slide two, we see another view of it. Oh my God, you wouldn't believe it.
The person, apparently she was an adult actress, adult movie actress, the actual person that plays Mahoney's friend.
Right. You mentioned it already, Tackleberry, shooting the cat out the tree, help the old lady get it back.
You get my kitty cat out of the tree?
No problem, ma'am.
I think the other, Sergeant Callahan, demoing, and for those that don't know, Sergeant Callahan is tall blonde with big boobs, and she's demoing self-defense on the judo match, and gets one of the recruits down, and she's kind of sitting on him, nearly sitting on his face, and then she's like, right, who wants to have a go next? And all the guys put their hands up. And one of the funny bits at the beginning is when the new recruits all arrive, and Kyle, who's one of the two, if you like, bad guys in it, he goes up to Chief Hurst, I think it is, and is saying, obviously, he's here, and Hurst, and he just tells him to, in a not very polite way, to get away from him.
Cadet Kyle Blanks, reporting for duty, sir.
Get away from me, you asshole.
Yes, sir.
Good. But yeah, lots and lots of really funny scenes in this movie. It still gives you a good time giving it a watch. Mm. And that's another thing about these movies. They're nice and short. They're only ever, just under 90 minutes.
They're under 90 minutes, yeah.
That's good. Paul, so where would you rank in terms of the Police Academy movies? Top, middle, or lower tier? Top. Yep, I agree with you. It goes in my top tier as well. So let's turn our attention now to Police Academy 2.
Lock your doors. Activate the dog. Stand up the man. Stretch the wire. because they've taken to the streets. They're the graduates of Police Academy, turned loose on their first assignment.
You gotta build a trust between you and the people, and they'll respect you.
They're armed.
Now look, I'm serious.
And they're dangerous.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mahoney.
You have the right to sing the blues. You have the right to cable TV.
It's a nice piece.
Tackleberry.
I was referring to your sidearm.
Hightower.
Yo!
Yo?
Yo, sir!
Jones. Hooks.
Dirtbag!
Captain Lazard. Commandant Lazard. And the lovable Lieutenant Mauser.
It's Captain Mauser.
Last year, they were in training.
Time to deploy for school.
I'll go when I'm ready.
You're ready now, mister.
This year, they're in charge. Police Academy, their first assignment.
Sir Paul Maslansky and Warner Brothers did such a great job. And, you know, even broad comedies, they have to have a great story and a great plot and great timing. You know, what's the secret of comedy timing?
Yeah.
So that's the whole game, and Police Academy just works. I mean, it's 35 years old. Someone told me they're having a big celebration everywhere about it. A lot of places are celebrating it, and it still plays.
It still holds up.
Yeah, I'm really lucky.
Well, I'll say this much for Police Academy 2. It has two more laughs in it than the first picture, which means it has a total of two laughs in it. One is a brief sight gag involving the smelliest recruit when he takes off his socks in a locker room and flicks him at his locker, well, they stick to the locker. That's disgusting, and it's funny. The other gag involves one recruit who loves karate and also can imitate all sorts of sounds, including, and this is kind of funny too, the sounds that come out of an actor's mouth in a low-budget karate film with the words completely missing the actor's lips. I thought that was funny. Those are two funny bits that last a total of perhaps 10 seconds. Unfortunately, Police Academy 2 lasts about 90 minutes longer than that.
There was one other thing in it that I kind of liked, and that was the leader of the evil gang that walks around with marbles in his mouth or bowling balls and talks funny.
It got old, though.
It got old because they had nowhere to go with it, nothing to do with it, except he came on, he was funny, and then he was funny over and over and over again because they were so desperate. And, you know, there are so many police movies around and so many cop shows on television and so many sources of inspiration that they shouldn't, it seems to me, have just made the same story again, more or less, which is the same bunch of bumbling recruits. No particular plot for them to get involved in. It's satire, you know, no satirical approach to the material.
To me, it's recycling stuff that I saw on situation comedy shows 20 years ago on TV and not doing it as well, not with as much wit as with much charm. The characters aren't developed. It's mechanisms for dirty jokes, basically. Mm-hmm. It's sort of sad when you sit there, actually. I feel bad that I'm there.
Feel bad that people spent money and they're out to have a good time and this is what they're given.
So Police Academy 2, their first assignment, 1985, directed by Jerry Paris. And the plot for this one, after graduating in the first Police Academy, Gary Mahoney and the rest of his hapless fellow officers are assigned to a precinct commanded by Captain Pete Lazard, played by Howard Hesman, whose district is being harassed by a gang led by Zed, Bob Goldthwait. So given 30 days to shape up or lose his post, Lazard struggles to discipline his incompetent new charges, while subordinate Lieutenant Mauser, played by Art Vetrano, plots to take his job away. So there we are, already a couple of brilliant new characters in there.
Yeah.
So the gross in this one, it grossed $115 million on a budget of $7.6 million, so it made almost 15 times its budget, and it is the second highest grossing movie in the franchise, and it was the 11th highest grossing movie of 1985. So, movie mistake, when there is a fight at the Blue Oyster Bar and Hooks goes to find the address, Proctor says the address is 621 Cowan Avenue, but when Mahoney and Hightower get there, the number on the door says 655. Although that's quite a funny moment, isn't it?
Proctor,
he knows the address of the gay bar off the top of his head. He knows the address, yeah.
Exactly.
So ratings-wise, we plummet here, don't we? So 28% Rotten Tomatoes score from the critics, 42% Rotten Tomatoes audience score. On IMDb, it has a 5.8 out of 10 audience rating and a 39 out of 100 critic Metascore. So things have dipped there. And here's a fact for you. the only movie, or it is the only movie in the original Police Academy heptalogy in which Callahan, played by Leslie Easterbrook, does not appear. Which I never found out until I was reading this note you put in here, Paul, that after the first film was completed, she was pregnant and had a baby daughter, which prevented her from working on the sequels. So in summary, while often seen as inferior in comparison to its predecessor, this certainly packs a punch and introduces the wonderful Zed. What more can you want? So we've seen this at the cinema, right, didn't we?
Like we talked about, it's my favourite one in the franchise. Just, it's probably a bit of nostalgia as well, because that was the first film we saw. I love how Mahoney's character develops as well, and Zed, bringing Zed into it, totally changes it. And I love the bit as well when they go, not the old Joe, the new Zoo, and then Mahoney's trying to pretend, he's like, he goes, you're a cop. And he takes his moustache and goes, oh, you're an ugly cop. And he goes, no, I'm a singer. And he's like, at the microphone. It's supposed to be undercover, and it just, this sort of karaoke style microphone. So it's just hilarious, yeah.
Sunday at Raceway Park, dragsters, top viewers, incredible wheels.
You're wired! No, I'm a singer! You're a cop! And you're an ugly cop!
This is a consistently, I mean, I'm going to say it, right? This is one of my favourite comedies of all time. I love this movie. I think it's consistently funnier than the first one. I think this one, it's actually quite different. Compared to the first movie, I think this movie owes a lot more to the Zucker brothers, who did the likes of Airplane, Top Secret, Naked Gun. It's more of that kind of comedy style. I think the introduction of some brilliant new characters in here raise it, with Mauser, Proctor, Zed, Sweet Chuck, the Tackleberry's girlfriend's family, the dad and the son who box each other all the time.
Yeah, he should be pretty good at boxing, but my boy is pretty good too. He was on the high school championship team. Huh?
Yeah.
But I can still take him, right?
I don't know, Dad. Take it easy.
Come on.
No, I don't think so, Dad.
Come on, Hannah. Come on.
Oh, you all right there, Dad?
That's pretty good, huh? Oh. I'm sorry, kid, huh?
It's all right.
It's all right, huh? All right, get off. Good.
Yeah.
So, brilliant new characters in this. I think the opening sequence is really funny in Sweet Chuck's shop, when everything gets trashed. That whole opening sequence is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Lassard's brother, who's a really good new character as well. I think when he phones up Eric to say he also needs some recruits, I think he says something like, I need to get my hands on some healthy young men.
I know.
And then another bit which had me howling with laughter. And he's had obviously a really bad couple of weeks, and he's driving home and obviously spies couple of girls or a girl getting attacked. And he takes his police car down the street and gets out. And there's like a couple of punks, and he's, this is exactly what I was looking for, the jacket off, the sleeves rolled up, ready to fight them. And then the whole gang appear and surround them.
What you doing? That's my life.
Lady, please.
Help.
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey,
this is just what I've been looking for. Not afraid of you punks.
Come on. Right
here. Yeah. Where you going?
Uh-huh. I ain't going nowhere.
Take care of you. Come on, I'll take you all on. Come on, I want you. I'm not afraid of a wall of them. Now it's just you and me.
Okay, come on.
Come on. I'm tired of talking to you, punk.
Well, don't talk to me.
I don't
want to
dance.
Man.
I want to get my hands on you.
Yeah, uh-huh. You ready to talk to me now? Come on. Show me. Teach me.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And I think also the bit in the, I think it's at the Chinese restaurant where the guy's making the dishes, doing all the fun. Is all that crap really necessary?
Hey! Oh! Hey!
is all that crap necessary?
I think it's when the guy also throws the knife down. He gets his gun out, yeah. That's good. What are some of your other highlights from the movie?
Those bits you talked about, and the bit where he actually comes back after he's been beaten up by all of them, and then...
Hey, sir, would you take a look at my hands?
I think it's a matter of personal hygiene. I am talking about public safety.
Yes, sir.
Now listen up, everybody. This is serious.
When Mauser goes in for the shower, and then, of course, they swap the shampoo for glue, and he's going, Captain Mauser, yowzy yowzer.
They'll say, Captain Mauser, yowzy yowzer. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, 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 hey, hey. My hands are stuck to my head. Hey, who's fooling around?
What the fuck?
Okay. Let's not fool around, fellas. It's me, and I'm not kidding around. I want someone to take this out of my head.
But then he has to go out, and he's got no clothes on, and he has to go out and all that. What's the good bits?
Yeah, I think any of the scenes where it's Mahoney and Mauser is a highlight. I think where he's looking at the window, just muttering to himself, I'll have your ass, Mahoney. And Mahoney's actually standing by and he's like, I'm sorry, sir, I'm straight.
Mahoney, what kind of clown do you think I am? A juggling clown?
But another bit in this movie which always gets me laughing is Sweet Chuck, when he's obviously had his arm broken and it's up in that kind of right angle position and Zed's gang surround him and then he's trying to get away and he turns around and then inadvertently punches out one of the gang and then runs off into the Blue Oyster Bar. Leading to the big gang fight, which is really good. I think Taco Bell's romance is very funny as well. I think
brilliant.
Coupled up with the woman, and she kind of bends over, and he's going, "It's a nice piece." She's like, "What did you say?" I'm referring to your sidearm.
Take care of myself. You just cover your own ass.
It's a nice piece. I was referring to your sidearm.
By the bit in the bar where he's like, "Mahoney, I'm a virgin," and the whole bar just silences him. And Mahoney's partner in this one, when he goes to visit him,
Stillman.
And a real slob, And
hey, how you doing?
He starts eating the cereal, and one of the cats has obviously done something in it. He just picks out the bowl, throws it away, and continues eating.
Hey, would it be okay if I eat, Doug?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. You know, next to a lunch and dinner, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Oh, jeez. Bunky, how many times I gotta tell you? The litter box! Hey, you sure you don't want any?
I'm on a diet.
And here's a fact for you, actually, a good fact for this one. So, Bubba Smith, who played Hightower, he made more money from this film alone than he had playing 10 years of professional football. And that was because he was smart enough to request a 2% piece of the movie's profits.
That's right.
So he was handsomely clever. Paid.
That's good.
So let's rank this one. Where would you rank it, Paul? I'm guessing it's going to be top, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, top for me as well.
Police Academy 3.
Got it. The state says it can no longer afford two police academies.
We better call Mahoney.
Your favorite graduates are back.
We're here.
Mahoney.
We're rubies.
What?
Hooks.
Don't move. They're bad.
Callahan. Hightower. Tackleberry.
Do you want to kill me?
Backler. and Joan. Their assignment?
Hey, we're going to make one hell of a cop.
Thanks, Dad. Oh, would you give this to Mom for me?
Mold a brand new generation of recruits.
That didn't hurt!
Into a fighting machine in a matter of weeks.
Shit!
Then, together, they're going to save their beloved academy the only way they know how. By chance.
Quick!
Police Academy 3, back in training.
You're sitting in a non-smoking area.
Put it out when I'm finished.
You'll put it out now, mister.
What they don't know can't stop them.
Can be remembered not only by name. Everybody knows who Hightower is. You know, everybody knows who Mahoney is.
Why would you want to know my dress size? I'm not putting on no dress. And I said, this is to catch a purse snatcher.
Sergeant Hightower, come here.
None of my friends in football or nowhere is going to believe this. Bub got a dress on.
It's a remarkable franchise in that people all over the world recognize not only the title of the picture, but can remember the names of the players.
The little guy with the glasses there is Tim Kazurinsky, and I've seen him on Saturday Night Live and on stage in Second City, and I don't know who some of the other people in this movie are, but he's an example, I think, of the waste of talent that Police Academy 3 represents, because I know that he's a funny actor, and if he can't make me laugh in this movie, then there's something wrong with the whole premise. I suppose that the Police Academy movies are trying to do something sort of innocent and harmless in their own way, at a time when so many movies are filled with high-tech violence and soul-searching despair and the sex lives of obnoxious adolescents. Here's a movie that only wants to be good, dumb fun. It comes out of the tradition of Abbott and Costello and the Three Stooges. The trouble is, those old comedies had a certain crazy energy level, a certain method to their madness, and they had characters who got developed to the point where you could care what happened to them. Police Academy 3, like Parts 1 and 2, never cranks up the energy to make it funny enough.
Cranks up the energy is precisely the point. This thing is directed as if it were asleep. I mean, it is very slow, methodical. You saw the speed there. This movie, if it's going to work, the jokes have to follow one on top of another so that you're laughing, and then the next one comes and you're laughing on top, and this audience is exploding with laughter. That's the way Mel Brooks works with gags. That's the way Laurel and Hardy works. This thing is just done in slow motion, and the gags aren't
funny. I think what they're trying to do here, because the first two had more of a story than this one is only episodic gags, is they're trying to make a movie like Airplane or like Top Secret, and the problem is, you put your finger right on it, by so fast that you feel like you're missing stuff.
Right.
The moment you have the chance to stop and think in a movie like this, it's all over.
I had plenty of chances to stop and think, to look around at the room, to see people who were sitting next to me, to talk to friends, go back to visit the projectionist, go to the bathroom, anything but look at that screen.
That brings us to Police Academy 3, Back in Training, released in 1986, and again directed by Jerry Paris. So the plot for this one, when the governor announces the state can't afford to keep both of its police academies open, Commandant Lessard and Commandant Mauser are pitted against one another. Lessard asks some of his old cadets, including Sergeant Mahoney, to train the new recruits, who include high-strung Sweet Chuck, played by Tim Kazurinsky, and Loudmouth Zed, played by Bobcat Goldthwait. As Evaluation Day approaches, each side tries to sabotage the other. So the gross on this one, it grossed $107 million worldwide on a budget of $12 million, so it made almost nine times its budget, and it was the 17th highest grossing movie of 1986. And this continues the trend of each sequel doing less than its predecessor. There is a movie mistake in here. Around the 54-minute mark, during the song by Sergeant Hooks and Lieutenant Callahan at the Policeman's Ball, the camera alternates between shots of Lessard's cadets having fun, while Mauser's cadets stay in their seats and show no emotion. When it goes to wide shots of the room, you can actually see Mauser's cadets dancing and having a good time. So ratings-wise, it has a 36% Rotten Tomatoes critic score, a 39% Rotten Tomatoes audience score, 5.4 out of 10 IMDb audience rating, and 33 out of 100 critic Metascore. And here's a fact for you. Jerry Paris, the director of Police Academy 2 and 3, he had an affair with Leslie Easterbrook on the set of the movie. And Easterbrook plays Sergeant Callahan. So they had an affair while making this movie. And Jerry Paris actually died 10 days after the film's American release. If memory serves, he had been diagnosed with a brain tumour and he died due to complications from an operation to try and fix that. And in summary, yeah, decent film, but feels pretty much just more of the same laughs. The franchise had reached its peak and was now sadly on the wane. Also, Police Academy 3, do you remember seeing this at the cinema back in the day?
Yes, we saw this in Jersey, 1986. We do go to the cinema in Edinburgh as well. It's just it seems to be always, we mention Jersey when we watch a lot of these films. So, yeah, I remember seeing it then and really enjoying it, actually, at the time.
And now, what do you think of it?
It's all right. It's unfortunately, it's the start of a decline, really. I mean, there's some decent bits in it, but it's just, yeah, there's something lacking that they never really recapture from the first two. But there's still some funny moments in it. What about you? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, it becomes really clear here that it's very much now, there's a formula, and this is where they stick to it going forward with diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like Hooks, who's always quiet, suddenly shouting at some point, usually a bad guy.
A lot better.
Mahoney getting angry and going over the top with his gun to get somebody to do something. But like all these things, it's less funny the more it's repeated with it. I mean, there's good stuff in it. I think it was funny. Sweet Chuck and Zed joining the police and obviously being roommates as well, which was good. I think it was good to have the two kind of jerks from the first movie.
Blank. Yeah. Is it Copeland and Blanks? Or, yeah.
I think so, yeah. So it's good to have them back in there. In terms of funny moments, I think one of the best bits was the guy who's in the dark and he's meant to be IDing the person that had, I think, mugged them robbed them or something. And he's like, well, are you sure? You sure they can't see me? And he went, no, they can't see. It's light up there. It's dark in here. And he's like, right, stands up. It's him. Just as the light goes on in the room, and the guy sees him. I'll kill you.
Now, Mr. Miller, I want you to take your time, study these men very carefully. Then tell us if you see the man who robbed your store.
Let me reassure you, Mr. Miller, the suspects cannot see you when it's dark in here.
Well, Mr. Miller, is he there?
Are you sure they can't see me? My wife said they'd see me, said not to do this.
Mr. Miller, bright lights in there, dark in here. He can't see us. Do you see him?
How hard can it be, Miller? Is he there or isn't he?
I don't know. He really didn't steal that much. Well, the hospital stay was quite restful. I wish I'd listened to my wife.
Oh, for God's sake, Miller, will you take your balls out of your wife's purse and finger the dirt bag?
It's him.
Come on, Miller, I'll kill you!
Wrong! It's him. He's the one, the priest.
Oh, that was good. In terms of things I didn't like, I think the chase bit at the end was a bit too long. You know, on the jet skis and all that seemed to go on a bit too long, and it just seems to abruptly end. It's like, oh right, it's finished then, is it?
For the end.
And other than Zed and Sweet Chuck, who are from the last movie, I don't think any of the other new recruits really make much of an impression. Or you've kind of got the posh guy, but other than the bit in the beginning where he asks Hightower to help him with his bags. which is quite funny, and Hightower throws him away.
Oh, Porter, Red Cap. That's right. Could you help me with these, please? That's right. Come on over here. Thank you. That'll be fine. Thank you.
Other than that, yeah, none of the new characters really hit at all, I would say.
The female in it that Mahoney, we talked about earlier, instantly subtracted to her role. She was in Baywatch, wasn't she? Do you know the?
Oh, was she?
Yeah, I remember. So she, that would have been maybe 3-4 years before it, but she was in that. Yeah, but there's nothing really stands out. But I do like they're having the big sort of party at the end, and Proctor ends up having no clothes on, and he's in the hallway and all that, and he's just got that bin lid cover.
And then good.
Mauser, Mahoney's like trying to capture Mauser, like catch him out, and he electrocutes him, and he goes, "What would you like to say?" And he goes, "Mahama, Mahama, Mahama." He would like to say Mahama. Do you know that bit?
Yeah.
That was great.
I think the other thing we're talking about that, yeah, and the second movie we had Mauser obviously getting his hand stuck to the top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he loses a lot of his hair because of that and wears the wig. And this one you've literally got the same gag again, but this time it's his eyebrows.
So it's not as funny.
It's that repetition of things now.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's still a sporadically funny movie. So it's not bad or anything. It's but not as good as the first two, I would say. So, if we're going to... Oh, and in fact, that's what I was going to mention to you, which I just found out. Do you know how in the movie the Japanese cop in it, Nogata? Nogata?
Yeah.
Now, at a couple of points in it, you find out he's sleeping on a bed of nails. Oh, yeah, and he liked to meditate, and he held his hand over the candle. That's because the character was originally written as an Indian police cadet named Ramu, but they then changed it in the script, but that remained over. It doesn't make any sense, somebody from Japan sleeping on a bed of nails or that kind of thing. So there we are, that was what was changed. Anyway, what would you, or where would you rank Police Academy 3? Top, middle or lower tier?
Middle.
I'm with you there, middle tier for Police Academy 3.
And who might you be? Oh, Tomoko Nogata of Tochikawa Nogata's. Oh, and is this your lovely wife?
Doctor?
Yes, sir!
What's the story here with Fu Manchu?
Fu Manchu? I don't have a Fu Manchu.
I'm talking about the stir-fried shrimp from out of town.
Oh, he's with the Tochikawa Highway Patrol, part of an international exchange program, here to study our methods.
I'm not teaching my cadets how to use a wok. You ship him off to Lesage. He'll fit in perfectly over there. He could use a good sushi chef. No offense, eh?
Arigato. Thank you.
Kiss my what?
Like Trimming the Movie Fat, why not check out our other podcast, Trimming the Musical Fat?
Okay, well, what do you think of the first three Police Academy movies? Where would you rank them yourself? Get in touch with us, and you can find how to do that in the episode description. So yeah, email, Facebook, and so on. And come back for the next episode where we're looking at Police Academies 4, 5, 6, and Mission to Moscow. And I have to say, I've not seen any of these, well, maybe with the exception of 6, I don't think I've seen 4 and 5 in decades. And I've never seen Mission to Moscow, which I hear is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it could make for a very interesting discussion in the next show. And a perverse way, I'm looking forward to Mission to Moscow because I've heard it's so bad. Come back for that next month. So we'll rank all 7 movies in order of preference at the end of the next episode. But for the first 3, I think we're both in agreement. Third place, the third one. Second place, the first movie. First place, the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, we hope you enjoyed watching, listening to the show, and do come back next month for the concluding part. Until then, keep trimming.
Trimming the Movie Fat is a Stephen and Paul Nicholson production. We'd love to hear from you. Contact us by voicemail via the Spotify link in the episode description. You can email us at trimmingthemusicfat@gmail.com. Keep up to date with the show and access exclusive content by joining our Facebook group, subscribing to our YouTube channel, and following us on TikTok. You can also check out our website at trimmingthemusicalfat.com. Thanks for listening.